The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, after Peter's confession, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed on the third day and be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you, beloved of Christ. Grace and peace. Amen. This summer, during our time on that little island of Iona off the west coast of Scotland, we were part of the weekly pilgrimage. We hiked around the island. I've shared this with some of you already. Hiked around the island, at first on gravel roads, and then along the coast, and later through spongy bogs, stopping periodically to reflect and to pray, sometimes to sing. One of the first stops, and perhaps the one that I remember the most clearly from that time, was at a crossroads, literally a gravel crossroads on that island. And there at the crossroads, we pondered the crossroads of our lives, the choices before us, the decisions to go one way rather than another way, and that process of discernment at the crossroads. Our gospel this morning. Our gospel picks up where last Sunday's left off. Honestly, it's a bit of whiplash. For Peter has just confessed Jesus as the Messiah. That's what happened last Sunday. The Son of the living God. It was this high point. It was this amazing moment. And Jesus has praised Peter. "I'll rename you, Peter. You'll be the rock, the cornerstone of the church." And all too quickly, Peter struggles to grasp what Jesus is up to, what it will look like to follow Jesus. And as Peter tries to stop Jesus, rebuking him, Jesus stops Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," Jesus says. "Get behind me." And Peter expected Jesus, I would think, to be a king, probably like David. They'd heard about him for years, a warrior, one who could free the people from the Roman occupiers' heavy thumb with just enough violence, because that's just how it was done. Trouble is, the cross for Jesus, this Jesus who has this cross, this discipleship, is founded not on violence, but on mercy and on love and on forgiveness, not on hatred, not on retribution, not on the things that Peter expected. So it's this turn of ways. Today's gospel is a crossroads of sorts. For Jesus and for Peter, which way will they go? Which way will we go? As the people of Houston cry out and clean up, as immigrant families cling to their very existence, as students anxiously prepare for something new and something good, which way will we go? How will we follow this living God in the days ahead? We're at a crossroads. Can we imagine the freedom that this cross offers? Not freedom based on violence, not freedom based on security of our stuff, even the stuff that we've hauled into dorm rooms and apartments. Even the security of this world, that's not what this cross leads us to. But instead, freedom rooted deeply in another way of loving one another. Paul's letter to the people of Rome, the second reading that Sheila shared with us today, offers a way of living a Jesus life, if you will. Many of you surely noticed that we printed it a little bit differently in the bulletin today. We sliced it into these little, tiny phrases. That's how it's actually written. Admonitions, if you will. Admonitions that all too often we hear as this big, long chain, and we say, oh, I can't do that, or that one sounds nice, but I can't even grasp all of these words. So in a moment today, I'm going to ask Sheila to come back. She's our lector this morning. She's doing double duty, maybe triple duty, to come back, and I'm going to ask her to read again slowly section by section by section, just like she did before, as it's printed in your bulletin, from the letter to the Romans. And as Sheila reads, I'd like you to listen to each phrase and consider which of those come easily, come naturally for you. And I'd also like you to consider which do you find most challenging. And there are a lot of challenging ones in this reading. So as she reads, listen to each phrase and consider which comes most naturally, which one comes most challenging, is most challenging. And then on those post-it notes, you know, people said, Jen, post-it notes again. I know, I like post-it notes. I realize that. So on the yellow-green ones, kind of, I don't know what color this is, this yellow-green color. On those, write down what it is that comes most naturally. And if you need a pen, I see ushers in the back. They've got extra pens. Write it down, whatever comes most naturally to you. And then on the blue post-it note, this is clearly blue. If this is blue, write which one, what comes most, is most challenging for you. Most challenging on the blue, most natural and easiest on the yellow-green. Does that make sense? So I'm going to invite Sheila back up here to read again. Get your pens ready. Here we go.
From Romans, the 12th chapter. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, insofar as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
I'd love to hear from just one or two people, which one comes most easily, most naturally for you? Which one comes most easily or most naturally for you? Love one another, Ibrahim says. Love one another. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Rejoice with those who rejoice. So these are the ones that we're saying, and you, each of these is an individual thing. Somebody's going to say the opposite, and that is okay. These are the ones that we say come most naturally, most easily. So my next question is, which are the ones that are most challenging for you as an individual? Which is most challenging for you? Bless those who persecute you. That's what I said as well. Be patient in suffering. One more. Was there another one over here? Patience also. Yes. Yes. The hospitality one. That one comes more. That one's more challenging. Be ardent in spirit. Yeah. So I want you to take these post-it notes home. That's why they're post-it notes. I invite you to stick them on your computer. Or put them on your bathroom mirror or somewhere that you're going to notice them. And remember, this one, I'm doing okay at. I feel like I can work on this one. And this other one, this is challenging, and I can work on this one too. They represent the cross. They aren't supposed to be easy. None of them are light. We're using Romans to help us understand carrying the cross. This is not light. It's not light. And yet this is a crossroads, and God calls us to new ways of living, and God loves us into new ways of making these Romans admonitions real. Someone told me this week, he said, I need to read this before I watch the news, and again, after I watch the news. He had a good point, a very, very good point. This is how taking up our cross might look. So let's shift gears, and we're going to listen one more time. And this time, we're not thinking simply about ourselves as individuals, but most truly how we as a community, and that could be this community, if it's the community you identify with, or maybe you've never come here before, but you identify with some other community. Think of that community. Think of you as a community. And think of how this affects that. So this time, listen again for the community that you're a part of and use the yellowish, greenish post-it note to consider as a community of Christ, as a community called to take up the cross, which of these comes most easily for the community? And we might not agree. This is opinion kind of stuff. But which one do you believe comes most easily, naturally, for our community? Write that on the yellow-green one. And on the blue one, write down which one do you feel is most challenging for the community. Sheila.
Romans chapter 12. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
These aren't easy.
None of them are easy.
And yet I'm convinced that if we take Jesus' call seriously, the freedom of the cross transforms us as individuals and us as community. And that compels me. That's the crossroads I want to be at. And I actually want to be at that crossroads. And it's a good spot for a long weekend as we head into fall term and as students and professors and teachers and children alike go back to school. So as Zach plays an extended introduction to our hymn of the day, it's hymn number 808. I invite you to bring forward your post-it notes. They don't stick super well to the cross, but you can attach them to the cross if you can, or there's a basket next to the cross. Place them somewhere near that cross and read what others have written. And pray with me. Pray with me for the way our community is transformed as we let love be genuine, as we stand at the crossroads. Amen.
Open through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. We pray for the church and its mission. Make your church ready to lose its life for your sake. Unite it in service, sustain it in suffering, and let its love for others be genuine. We pray especially for all those who have suffered and continue to suffer the devastation of Hurricane Harvey. But be with them as they rebuild their lives and keep them safe. We pray for all nations and their leaders. Overcome evil with good. Show us how to live peaceably with all. Teach us how to love our enemies.
This is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than
We pray for those in need. Be with our homebound members Dick Kerning, Marge Perkle, Lorraine Berger, and Marjorie Haddad. We pray for this community and its ministry. Send healing to Bertha, Sharon, Millie, Lawrence, Steve, Alexander, Armando, Madeline, Kathy, Janet, Hannah, Mavis, Margaret, and Chuck. Move us to persevere in prayer, to extend hospitality to strangers, to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to weep with those who weep. We pray especially for Beata Rydeen and family at the death of her cousin Mark Schlegel, and for Margaret Anderson and family at the death of her husband Ken. We pray for Millie Casperson and the family at the death of her husband, Paul, and for all those we now name out loud or in our hearts. We rejoice in the birth of Ezra John Vitale, child of Jim and Isabel Vitale. Be with all students and faculty as they prepare for another academic year. We pray for Lutheran Campus Ministry and Pease Academy. We continue to pray for the ministry of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Jos, Nigeria, and for Pastor Hammond and the young women of Nigeria still missing, including Lydia. Be with all who serve in harm's way, including David Peterson, Elliot Paletto, and Scott William Lang. You are the Alpha and Omega. We give thanks for all the saints who now rest from their labors. Keep us in union with them until we are joined around your throne. Into your hands, gracious God, we commit all for whom we pray, trusting the power of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. La paz de Cristo sea siempre con ustedes. Y también contigo. The peace of Christ be with you always, and also with you. We share that Christ peace.